heard yes on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Yes.
Yes.
All right, good. We have a few people on. Tim didn't get the full complete broadcast out because we were out of funds and I was gone to the store and couldn't add them. Let me see how many people we have on right now. Hold on. All right, we have 7 people on. 7 good, devoted, dedicated A-teamers out of a lot of members. But a lot of our people, they pop on a call here and there. It's not like they never show up. They just, you know, maybe on once a month or whatever. All right, so for those of you on today, welcome. What I'm going to do, by the way, if you have any noise during this call, you can press *6 to individually mute yourself, like if there's a train driving through your living room or you have to go to the restroom or something. And then if you want to talk, you have to press *6 again to unmute. For now, I'm going to mute all. I'm going to talk a little bit, and then I'll be back, and I'll talk to you individually. All right, everyone, you all are muted. I'm going to talk a little bit, and then I'll be back to talk to you individually. By the way, if you do speak during the call, you give me permission to use sound, likeness, quality, voice, in perpetuity, worldwide, without royalty or recompense. Okay. Got a couple things I want to talk about today. Now, in the last couple calls, I haven't discussed a lot of things for newbies, so I want to discuss a few things today for newbies, and then I want to discuss a little bit more advanced information. Newbies, all right, number one. This last week on Twitter, if I cough during this call, I'm recovering from a cold and I can barely cough because of my surgery. So it's a little bit kind of touch and go talking. So if I struggle a little, I do apologize. Also, I still have not switched conference call services, although that is going to be in the works. The surgery kind of got me off track. So if I get this conference call service, for some reason, will just cut me off during a call. I have no understanding of why. So if you lose me once or twice, just hang on the call. I'll call back in, and we'll be back online. All right. Newbies, I was having a discussion on Twitter with somebody who's just still struggling to get things together. They're making some money. They got things going, but they're not going as good as they want, and they're still working quite a bit. So I talked to them a little bit about how to restructure their business, which is what I'm going to talk to you about, you know, how do you get this business to work the right way. But then also I went and I checked out their blog. And their blog was like their own – just kind of like their struggles in internet marketing or whatever, right? I mean, this is not what you do with a blog. You know, a blog, now a personal blog, yes. But if you send any customers to your blog, it's not a personal blog. The purpose of a marketing blog is to make sales. How do you make sales? A, target the audience in terms of the look of the blog, the graphics, the colors, and the topics, and what you discuss. You got to understand, if people come to your website or people come to your blog, just because you throw something up there, they ain't going to read it. They're busy. We're all busy. When I send out emails, like one of the top considerations in my mind when I send out an email is simply, how am I going to get anyone to read this? What can I say today that will compel someone to open and read the blog or open and read the email and click to the blog or click to the letter I got, see? So this isn't like a thing of, well, you know, bless God, people don't read email no more. No, nobody, people come to my blog, but it doesn't look like anybody reads it or responds. It's just really all so bad. This is not the attitude of a marketer. Now, we'll do two analogies here. One is for the guys who fish or the ladies who fish. The attitude is, what bait, where are the fish at? What bait can I put on the hook that makes the fish bite? That's what your blog is about. That's what your sales letters are about. That's the subject line of your emails. Now, stated differently, let's take another metaphor or analogy, cooking. You go to the cheap diner down the street. They throw some stuff on the plate and serve it to you. It's all right, tastes okay, it's cheap, it's fast. You go to the expensive restaurant, and man, the food comes and it looks great. The presentation makes the food taste better. The food comes and your response is, wow, that looks great. Like, you know, a lot of times you get, you know, your plate arrives and it's got decorations on it and stuff squirted around on it or shiny stuff. And, man, it looks good. Presentation, it makes you desire it. It makes you want it, and it communicates to the audience. So, point of this story is, number one, when you talk to your target audience, target the topics that interest them. Imagine you're fishing and you got to put the bait on the hook, or you're trying to present the platter to make it really, really, really delicious looking so people want to consume it. They want to consume the email. They want to consume the blog content. They want to consume the letter or the sales letter or the podcast. This is like marketing 101, but it doesn't get any more important, and it's easy for anyone to screw up, including myself. I have to constantly try to remind myself of this fact. People on your list do not owe you their attention. Every email, every blog post, every sales letter, every podcast, every video, every communication has to earn their readership or their attention. Now, you have a target audience. What bait are they interested in? What are they going to respond to? Well, I send out email, ain't no one respond. Well, then maybe it's incumbent on you to find out what they are going to respond to. Try something else. Well, I was out fishing and I put some steak on my hook and ain't any of the fish bite. Well, then put something else on the hook, right? Use a different lure. I fished like one time in my entire life, so I'm really not a fisherman, fisherperson. But it's a good analogy to marketing, right? So this is number one. Number two, newbies, everyone, you got to communicate to your list. You've got people on your list, and you got to communicate to them. Well, Marlon, yeah, that's all well and good, but you got this big list. I only got 10 people on my list. Ain't nobody reading or responding. And I'm exaggerating here. But, I mean, these are actually things people have basically said to me over time. You know, I mean, but you got to understand, there's a whole lot of people out there that got small lists that are doing really well with them. You know, it's not unusual for me to talk to marketers that, quote, get it, that have small lists and just kill it. And I'll give you an example of that. John Alana started a little website about how guys could meet women called Women Approach Me. Like his first 10 opt-ins that he got from pay-per-click, one of them bought like his $200 course because he sent daily emails that were engaging and intriguing and enticed people to read. Wow. I need to read it. Ooh, this sounds interesting. Ah, that's really cool. Yeah, that you suck them in, so you pull them in. You got to communicate regularly with your list. If you got customers, you got to get them on an autoresponder where you can email them. You got to communicate. You got to send out value and not just pitches. Again, I apologize for coughing in your ear. You got to set out value and not just pitches. If you just pitch, pretty soon people aren't going to read. Unless you advertise a list that is only pitches and people subscribe to it because they want product reviews, then that's fine. You're giving them what they want and what they asked for. And it's not necessarily a bad idea just to have a list that's only product reviews or something, you know. Not a bad idea for a list at all. If you're stuck for an idea for a list, just do product reviews. But content. Now, a tested, proven model that's fallen, that used to be huge, but there were a lot of people that didn't do it well. So now you don't see as many of them, but the people that do it a lot better now, and that means opportunity for you because there's less of them that are garbage. So that means that it opens up a little bit more door for you, and there's less noise if you produce something that's actually quality communications and content that speaks, interests, intrigues, talks to, attracts your target audience, whoever they are, whatever their interests are. It doesn't matter. Like, if I was selling art, I could have a weekly e-zine about art. I'd even have a daily one. You know, like, let's say I was a painter, right? I could tell stories about pictures, even if they weren't my own pictures, the things that would intrigue people. I could talk about colors and balance and ideas and new trends. All of these things are possibilities and possible communications. So you got to communicate to your list. And which means, begs the question, where's my list? How do I get the list? Well, that's all well and good, but how do I get people on the list? Well, you offer something free. We call it a freebie. And if you want the step-by-step directions on this, you go to promo-dashboard.com, promo-dashboard.com. It's step-by-step, A to Z. How do you set up the squeeze page, build your freebie, get people on the list, and then send out emails that communicate and make sales? So that's how you get people on the list. Now, where does the traffic come from? Well, Marlon, I understand I offer something free and I get them on a list, but where do I get the traffic? Well, you can do article marketing. It takes a lot of articles, like, you know, 10 or 5 articles a day. You can either write those yourselves or you can outsource them, you know, for $2 to $5 per article. You can go to getafreelancer.com and get somebody for $2 to $5 an article to write them, or Odesk, O-D-E-S-K, Odesk, or getafreelancer.com. But that's article marketing, and it works, and they're quality people. You write the articles, then you submit them to ezinearticles.com or other article directories. There's plenty of stuff, info out there on how to do this, by the way. My favorite is affiliate programs, paying other people to sell your product. And this is really just a numbers game, meaning people are going to promote what makes them money. And if you've got something that converts really well, they're going to promote it. If it don't convert well, they ain't going to promote it. You know, word travels fast. So if you got something that's really making money, you will get affiliates. Now, how do you get something that converts really well? Well, you do what's called split testing. Google has a thing called Website Optimizer, and you use it to do your split testing. And this is how you get something that converts. If it's a sales letter, test different headlines, different offers, guarantees, reason for acting now, bonuses, stories. You just try different things until something, Google lets you compare things, and you try different things and you compare and see what works better. And you just, every day you improve the process. Best example I can give you of this is my friend Lee McIntyre, who I told him all about what Dagan had done back in December and how Dagan had this whole sales machine. So Lee decided he was going to do the same thing. And every day Lee came in and they just did split test after split test, and they focused just on increasing their funnel and their sales conversions, the number of people who came to the website who bought. Or they just focused on it every day. Every day they come in and just work on it, right? Well, after 3 months, you know, their value per click, the affiliates, it went up to like $4 or $5 a click, and their traffic just absolutely positively soared. And he went from $30,000 a month to $100,000 a month is what he's going to do this month, or has already done, in the space of, well, from January to now, just by focusing on his dollars per click. But he already had a business in base. You know, it took him two and a half years to build the business to the point where he could do that. I'm not saying you're going to do it overnight. But that's traffic. Now, there's also pay-per-click. There's organic SEO. They all work. Pay-per-click works. Organic SEO works if you really focus on it and really learn and really, you know, you got to work at it. And you got to learn quite a bit and get a lot of specialized knowledge or know how to do SEO. Pay-per-click works. Same thing, though. Takes a lot of knowledge, quite a bit of effort and work. That's okay. Once you get your systems down, then it goes on autopilot. But figuring it all out in the beginning sucks. So you just – I say sucks. It all depends on your attitude, right? You know, if you like learning and experimenting and discovering, it's exciting to start seeing things work. But first, everything doesn't work at first. Nothing – this is like law one, Murphy. Nothing works at first. It all takes testing and tweaking. It's all right. It's all good. It's fun because you start getting results pretty fast if you keep working at it. Experimenting, testing, tweaking, trying, tracking what works, what doesn't work. All right. So your visitor value is extremely important. When affiliates send you 100 clicks, how much do they make? If they make 20 cents a click, you probably ain't going to get a lot of traffic. If they make $3 a click, you're probably going to get a lot of traffic. If you make $1 a click, you're going to get a lot of traffic. The good news about this is once you're over $1 a click and you're making $1, $2, $3 a click, then you can advertise on banner ads, websites, about anything, and you'll make money. Now, how do you get your visitor value up? Well, the best way to do it is with upsells, meaning they buy the initial product, and immediately, while they're excited, you offer them something else, and then something else. And you don't want to overkill it, but probably two or three upsells there are good. There's also a thing called a downsell. So you offer them something for $250, they don't buy it, they click, you know, do you want to buy this now, yes or no? They click no. Then you offer them something for $50. It's called a downsell. The other thing about newbies is there's a balance between learning and creating. I think 50-50 is a good balance. A lot of newbies come in and you learn. That's okay for a period of time, but there really comes a point when you just got to do 50% of your time you need to spend just on doing. Even if you do it wrong, even if you mess it up, even if it ain't right, that's how you learn. You learn dominantly by doing, not just by reading. Or so I read a lot. I study a lot. I love it. It's kind of like my life. But your real learning comes when you do. Because until you do, there is no feedback. So how do you learn without feedback? Now, getting people on your list, it's a matter of your free offer. What are you offering them free? How much value are you creating for it? People aren't opting into your list enough. Create more value for the free offer. Create more perceived value. Create a greater perception of value. Offer them something sexier or more exciting. You know, that's it. And targeting that audience, you know, you got to find out where they hang out and hit them with your message. If you're running the greatest free offer in the world in a forum, on a blog, on a banner ad where ain't any of them are, or only a couple of them are, it's not going to do real good. It's just like fishing. If you're out in the pond where all the fish are and you throw out just the crappiest bait, you're probably going to catch something. If you're in a pond with no fish and you throw out the most perfect bait in the world to catch bass, but there's no bass there, you know, you're not going to catch anything. It's like the recipe for a cake. If you put all the ingredients in, but you can't add the heat or the cold or whatever else it takes, you ain't going to end up with anything. You got to have all the elements, all the ingredients, right? That's really what I had to say at this point about this business. I'm going to bring this off of mute. I'm going to see questions. I'm going to see who's stuck and see what we can do to help you. By the way, again, if you have background noise, you can press *6 to mute yourself. If you got, you know, got to put us on hold and you have music on hold. If you got kids crying in the background, whatever. But then if you want to talk again, you got to press *6 to bring it off of mute. So give me 1 second here. My nose is, I have a cold, so my nose is running a little bit. Give me 1 second, then I'm going to bring this off of mute, and then I'm going to hear on the count of three, say yes. 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, great. Who has a question or a comment about what I've just articulated? Don't be shy. There's no bad questions, no wrong questions. Feedback, comments, did it make sense to you, not make sense? You already know it, already doing it, not doing it, want to do it. Don't care if you do it.
Yeah, Marlon, it's Andrew. I have a question for you.
All right, Andrew.
Going back to the marketing blog, and you say, you know, targeting the audience, obviously, to make sales. And there's a couple of, you know, the topics is one thing. You can go to the forums. You can go, you know, there are ways to get topics. The look and the graphics, could you tell me a little bit more about how you...
Yeah, I'll give you the great example.
Yeah.
So I have a friend named Joe Lavery, who's called the testing freak. And Joe's a really, really bright guy. He has a new product he's coming out with called Response Dynamite. So Joe showed me a preview of his sales letter yesterday, all right? Not making this up. So here's a picture of Joe with this very hot-looking, probably 21-year-old, somewhat scantily clad, not offensive or anything, but let's say tight clothes, girl in his photo. And he had some caption under it that didn't quite add up. Why is he with this smoking hot girl who kind of looks like a model? It just didn't really add up. And I'm like, Joe, you know, like, I don't know your audience, Joe, but this ain't flying with my audience. Like, you might should split test this. My audience is people over age 35 dominantly, 35, 40, 45, 50, et cetera. That picture don't fly with them. Joe said, well, my audience or the people he wants to target are under age 30. See, that makes all the difference in the world. People under age 30, that picture may really get their attention. They may like it. Somebody who's 50 years old looks at that picture and is like, I don't trust this guy.
Depends what he's selling, right? But
well, that's true, but he's selling internet marketing. If he's selling how to meet girls, it's different.
Yeah. Selling,
right? Yeah. But he ain't. He's just selling marketing. Now, so let me give you another example.
Sure.
My current blog photo is like my least favorite on marlinsnews.com, a picture of me in the three-piece suit. We did 12 blog headers with me and my red shirt and all these crazy positions, different positions, some crazy, some more serious. And then I told Lisa, this was way back when Lisa was my designer, Lisa, just for the heck of it, go over to Armin's blog, look at his pose and his colors, and do something like that, like the most, nothing against Armin's design, but it's kind of boring corporate look compared to what my normal style is. I'm like, do something boring, corporate, go kind of knock off what Armin did. She goes over there, she looks at it, finds the photo of me in the three-piece suit with my arms crossed, no smile on my face. We do the survey with our customers, and that wins. I thought it might have been a fluke till I was talking to Michael Fortin, and he did a survey and had the same thing happen. The photo of him that won was one where he had a little bit of a frown on his face and his arms crossed.
So in the survey, you just asked, what do you prefer? What is the survey?
I don't remember the survey now. We did it like 3 years ago, but it's something along the lines of help me choose the new header for my blog.
Got it.
Or, you know, or sometimes I'll do something informal. Hey, guys, gals, what's up? I'm picking a new header for my blog. My graphic designer's come up with 12, and I can't make up my mind. I need you to vote and pick one. You can even have comments on the blog if you want, you know. I mean, Frank Kern does the videos. I use Frank because he's, like, kind of a dominant figure at the moment, like guru of the day, week, or month, right? And Frank does videos where he's, like, skateboarding, he's got a beard, out at the beach, right? Who do you think his market is that he's selling to?
Internet marketers who, young
yeah, what age?
Folks.
If you're showing videos of you skateboarding on an electric skateboard, hanging out at the beach in beach bum wear, got beard on your face and long hair, what age group do you think you're trying to appeal to?
18 to 20, you know, early 20s.
Under 30.
Yeah, up to 30.
I'm not saying he doesn't have older customers, but I don't think he's trying to target 60-year-olds.
No.
Not skateboarding, come on. And wearing beach clothes and talking about drinking absinthe and alcohol and other sundry things, doing a video with sunglasses on. I mean, you know, it's he knows who he's trying to target.
Yeah. So it's really going back to that. It's going back to if you go to a fishing hole, you know, what kind of fish are you looking for? Are you looking for tuna? You're looking for bass, you're looking for sharks. I mean, they're all very different, and you bait the hook differently. So,
if you have a self-development product and you're trying to target a certain age of person, male or female, certain sex, even a nationality, people are attracted to people like themselves. Now, maybe as much as 10 years younger. In ads, they typically run, for products, they typically run pictures of models 10 years younger than the person they're selling to. Because everybody feels like they look 10 years younger than they really do. I think I look 40. No, I used to think I looked 40. I don't look 40 anymore. But I used to, right? So you might have pictures some younger than your target audience. But they still got to feel this person is like them.
Like them, not an authority kind of figure, more like them.
Well, an authority, people buy from authority. It's one of the seven laws of influence. Authority is one of the seven laws of influence.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the other laws of influence in there is that people buy from people like them.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I can look similar to my target audience and still come across as an authority.
Yeah.
Again, I consider Frank an authority, but I don't think most 60 and 70-year-olds are going to buy from him. Now, I may be wrong on that, but I kind of don't think so because he ain't trying to appeal to them. Unless
mm-hmm.
they like skateboarding, drinking absinthe or however you pronounce it, and wearing beach bum wear at the beach and surfing.
So got it. That's very helpful. So really ask, dig down deep.
You catch fish with the bait the fish like, not with the bait you like. Well, yeah, I went out fishing and I didn't catch anything. What did you use for the bait? Oh, my God, tiramisu pie.
Mm-hmm.
God, I love that pie. Did you catch any fish, no?
Mm-hmm. So that goes to colors, that goes to design.
Everything.
Everything.
If I'm pitching 18-year-olds, you know, my site's going to look a lot more like Wired Magazine. Like, I'll give you a great example. There's a commercial on TV right now for this pocket phone. And it's like a cheap thing. It's a $30 a month phone, if I recall, or something like that, a flat rate phone. They're targeting people 18 to 25, maybe even 16 to 25. They got three young, hip-looking kids who are out. Hey, yeah, we're out here. We're out here on the street to see, you know, what people say about pocket. And it's like hip clothes, hip terminology. The way they do it, like kids really relate to it. 50-year-old's going to scratch their head and be like, what? I ain't trying to sell to 50-year-olds. I'm trying to sell to people that relate to that.
Find out if I'm just hearing you correctly. I mean, if you see which sites, competitive sites, are making it and those that are not, then part of their design with your target audience, part of the success not only is how they're selling it and the design of it is part of the sale. So you could...
Everything communicates.
Mm-hmm.
Color, balance, tone, voice, everything communicates. It's all part of a communication. And our job in selling is to use all tools available to get people to buy. To do the best job of communicating with our benefits to our target audience that we can.
Thank you.
Questions or comments from anyone else? Guys and gals, don't be shy. Speak up, or I'll call on you.
Marlon, this is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
Your newbie report,
yep.
I feel like you did that just for me. It's going to be the bait I use on my blog once it's up and completed. I'm having it redone with all the graphics and stuff. So thank you for that. In fact, I was just reading it before I caught on the call.
Yeah, I actually wanted to read it again and make sure that it really communicates to newbies. I wrote it with a specific person in mind. Did you feel it communicates to newbies?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay, good. Sometimes you can write something in one mental state for one purpose, and then you go back and you read it later, and you're like, no, I missed this, you know.
Well,
but
I'll let you know how it works.
Let me ask you this, Nancy, to apply today's lesson, who do you want to attract?
I want to attract people that are over 40, probably.
Male, female? In the ideal world, if you could wave your magic wand, what do you want?
Probably female.
Okay, female, over age 40, conservative, liberal, what are their interests? They got kids at home, kids gone, kids in college.
Yeah, they
are
probably
they broke?
Got,
are they affluent?
Yeah, all of that. The kids in college, or they've got grandkids. They're thinking about the future, how they're going to spend the rest of their life, what kind of money do they need to support that kind of life.
All right.
And
so if you want to attract those people, what kind of picture would you put on your website?
Well, I'll tell you what the graphic that I got made is, it's kind of whimsical in a way, and I'm not at all sure I like it because the face of the woman that they used is very similar to Helen Mirren. And I don't, for some reason, that
I don't know who she is, but how
old
is she?
Oh, she played the Queen, and she did a couple of movies as...
Okay, well, the people you target, will they relate to her? Do they want to be her?
I don't know. But
here's
the other
thing,
part of it is...
photos of people that other people want to be.
Okay.
Because
so if I don't like this image, I could...
They probably ain't going to like it either. Yeah, you put a different image in there because think about it. Why do they put clothes on attractive models? Why don't they put them on ugly people? Like, I hear people complain about this. Well, all the models are thin. Well, you know why? Because there ain't any premium on fat, ugly people. Now, I can say this because I'm not fat, but I'm not like the best looking thing except, but I'm not confused with a male model any day soon. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's questionable if my photo should even be on websites.
That's how I feel about
Amazing
my photo.
Formula, it ain't on there. I got a model on there. You know.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you a funny story. Is it's not just me that thinks this way. Famous people think this way too. So Jay Leno was talking about his new show that he's going to do. And he was talking about the format and how it's still talk show format, lots of guests, et cetera, and is explaining why. He's like, the reason we're doing that is because most people don't want to tune in and just watch a 56-year-old man talk who's not that good looking. He's like, I need young, good-looking people on there. And this is Jay Leno.
Uh-huh.
So if people don't want to tune in just to see Jay Leno doing stand-up, they probably ain't going to want to tune in just to see me talking about marketing. It's like this new insight I have. I haven't really implemented it yet. But it's just, this is just a general understanding. So you want people on there that other people would like to be, photos that they relate to, but yes, I want to be that person. John Alanis calls it the attractive character. You've also got to turn yourself into, you got to present the most attractive side of your character because people have got to want to be you.
Yeah.
Because if you're because like, and I probably violate this sometimes, you know, like, let's say I did a blog post today. Oh, my God. I'm still struggling with my quadruple hernia, although I feel better, but I've been walking around the block, sweating my tail end off. I've been laying around on the sofa way too much, watching a little bit too much TV, and I haven't got nearly as much done in my business as I wanted to because I haven't been focused. Now, are they going to come back and read my blog post tomorrow? No!
Not likely.
They're going to be like, God, I really don't want to hear about this guy's hernia. Good God. And he's sweating his tail end off outside. Gross. I mean, you know, you want to present the attractive character.
Sure, sure.
You know, you sell the sizzle, not the fat in the steak. Yeah, well, this is our steak created by the little cattle, the cattle that we stuck in a pen so they couldn't move since they were born. And we just kept them there and didn't let them move around so there wouldn't be any fat on it. Till they were old enough for us to take them and just slaughter all of them. Would you like it?
Probably not.
No, I think I'll go ahead and take that vegetarian plate today. Good God. I don't want the little kid cows that have been killed in pens. Good God. You know, I mean, so anyway, but it, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's all communication, and you got to think, what am I communicating?
Yeah.
Like, let's say you write a blog, and this is the subtitle of your blog or the title of your blog. My Adventures and Struggles in Internet Marketing. And I can't figure out how come ain't no one buying from me. And the posts are things like, well, heck, I'm confused again. Yeah, I got more emails today. I'm now more confused than I thought I was confused yesterday. Today's even worse. But here's an affiliate link by this product that'll make you rich. What? What?
So it's the consistent, your
character.
Images and your voice and the whole thing.
God,
has to be consistent.
Imagine the commercial for toothpaste. And they got the dude on there brushing, and then he smiles and he's got rotten teeth and half of them are missing. Now be sure not buy that toothpaste.
Yeah, I got all that.
You
know. I think people that will be attracted to my blog, in spite of the existing graphics.
You just remember, it all communicates, and our job is to be exquisite communicators. The colors communicate. The style and design communicate. The photos on there communicate. The topics communicate. The tone of your message communicates. So it all communicates.
Yeah.
And as exquisite communicators, we want to be in control of our communications and not just have them happen by happenstance.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
So I got a box of Cheerios here in front of me. It says oats help naturally lower cholesterol, which is a ribbon around a heart that's got a red thing on it. And whether I read it or not, the idea is heart healthy because there's a picture of a heart and it's got Cheerios in it and it's got like, it looks kind of like a smiley face. It's a little banner across it that says, oats naturally lower cholesterol. It looks like a smiley face on the red heart. So like, you look at the Cheerios and you pretty much get the message. It's good for your heart.
Right. Well, my little queen, my little newbie queen icon,
yeah,
has a purse on her left hand like Queen Elizabeth always has, and it's got money coming out of it.
All right.
And there's a crown on the top of this Helen Mirren face that's kind of tilted. So it's got.
Well, again, I can't tell you if your people are going to like it or not or identify with it. I can tell you can actually split test. You can do surveys or just talk to people. Show it to people in your target audience and ask them. Show them a couple. Never just show one. Give them a choice of three or four. Which do you like best and why?
Okay.
It's not rocket science. You can just talk to people. But you got to give them choices. You can't just ask them what they think about one. You got to show them three or four and ask which they like best and why.
Yeah, okay.
And or you got to say, surveys are never 100% accurate, but they're better than guessing.
Yes.
No, this is true.
I know.
They ain't never 100% accurate. But, you know, your other choice is just to guess.
Yeah.
So I'll take the survey. I mean, my survey could have been flawed. Somebody that had a sophisticated, who was a competitor, that had a sophisticated automated clicker that used auto-refreshing IP addresses could have just set it on there and told it to click this one banner.
Mm-hmm.
Skewed the results of my survey. It ain't ever perfect.
I will do that.
Although we set cookies when they clicked the survey, so it would have been, they would have to also be erasing their cookies. It would have been a real pain for him to do it. But all right, who else has a question or a comment? Did any light bulbs go on, or is this like over your head, under your head, old hat, boring to you, exciting to you? Where are you at on this? Anyone? If no one speaks up, it's going to be a short call.
No, it's great. It's just how to, it's the what to, and then the how to is the next step. You know, how to actually physically get all that stuff together.
How, which stuff are you referring to? Let's talk about it.
Oh, okay. How to design the site so it reflects the, you know, what the target audience is looking for. And what is,
so let's talk about that. How do you do that? Well, the first thing is you look at the sites that you know they buy from. That's a real good start. You also can kind of make inferences by other things and products that are sold to those people. I mean, even physical stores and so forth, things that you know they respond to. That's just a real good start, is like just watching what they already buy and what seems to appeal to them. Just like I would say, commercials on TV. You can learn a lot just from commercials and infomercials. If you look at the age of the testimonials and the mix between race, sex, and so forth on infomercials, you know, you kind of got an idea for who their target audience is.
Sure.
You know? What age group are you selling to?
I'm selling to females about 32 to primarily females. And I say 30.
So you go to quantcast, Quantcast, quantcast.com.
Mm-hmm.
Type in there a few websites that you know they go to, and that'll give you references to other websites. It'll give you a distribution and breakdown on their age, income, education level, and everything. And it'll show you their affinity with a whole rating with a whole bunch of websites. Then you can type those websites in there and get more affinity websites. Now you got a list of about 20, 30, 40 websites. You go to them all, and you try to look kind of at the commonalities in terms of colors, ages of people,
mm-hmm.
designs, and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so once that's all done, then to construct it.
You're going to give all that data to your web designer. You're going to say, here's websites that our target audience like. Here's their age. Here's their income. Here's their educational level. Here's their race. It even tells you races or the mixture. You can actually give them the Quantcast stat. These are sample websites that they like. Here's what we're designing for. Here's what I envision or picture.
Okay. Got it.
That's a real good start.
Yeah. Perfect.
You can also
look
at the magazines they read, you know?
Yeah.
If I'm selling to young males, I'm going to look at FHM and Maxim. If I'm selling to 55, 60-year-old rich guys, I'm going to look at Rob Report and Cigar Aficionado and that crap.
So the magazines, the companies they do business with,
right,
et cetera.
It's just the whole picture.
Yeah.
You know, you just try to get – you really want to get this real picture of who you're selling to because – you know, because you got to communicate to them.
Mm-hmm. In their language.
So funny story. Obama, when he's running for president, never uses his middle name, but he goes over to speak to the Muslim country yesterday or whatever. I'm dating this call, but it's an event in the news right now as we're doing this call. And he used his middle name, which is Hussein. Obviously, he didn't use that middle name when he's running for president of the United States. But he used it at the strategic time when he felt it would be to his benefit or favor. To identify more and create more similarity or likeness to a target audience.
Sure.
Who else has anybody else have a question or comment on this? Any of you new people on that haven't talked, that are scared to talk but want to say something? Speak up. Then I'll talk a little bit. Let's hear what we have to say. I want to talk to you about what I call the Agora model. Agora has a gazillion billion websites because they do like 150 or 200 million a year. You can go to early2rise.com, or investment, and then the letter U, investmentu.com. Once you get on a couple of their mailing lists, you know, you'll be – use like – I always set up separate email accounts for this kind of thing because you're going to get a ton of emails. So I always use Yahoo or Gmail, and you'll get a lot of emails from them. But – they're a really great company to study because they do daily e-zines, content-rich, but then they also have two or three ads in there, and then like two or three times a week they also do standalone emails in addition to their e-zine. I'm debating this to my own list because I like mailing content every day to my list. The problem on that is then the people don't buy enough from just your embedded ads. To make enough sales, you also need to send some standalone offers. So your choice is to send out content some days and then your standalone offers or pitches other days, or do what Agora does, mail the content every day, but then on a few days a week, send a second email later in the day that's a pitch. I'm kind of debating which of these models to follow. It's a consideration, though, in your communication to your list. How much content are you going to send? When are you going to send it? What pitches are you going to send? Like, one of the issues on pitches is your good days to send pitches are Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Monday and Friday, you might as well only send content because the readership isn't great anyway. Or at least mine isn't. That leaves Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for pitches, but you don't want to mail three pitches in a row, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So these are just some of the considerations I think you've got to make in your marketing. When are you going to send your pitches, you know? There's also a consideration of what time do you send them. Some marketers swear by 4 and 5 a.m. in the morning. I always mail mine. I like to mail mine like 8 or 8:30 Central, but that's a little late in some time zones. I should get mine out earlier, but it's a consideration. My point about John Alanis was he had only 10 people on his list. He started emailing daily and started getting sales coming in. So even if you've only got 10, 20, 30, 100, 150 people on your list, you need to be getting in the habit of writing. For one thing, it gets you in the habit of writing. For another, it then gives you content that you can post on your blog. which helps attract Google. Then you can also Twitter when you write emails or content, post it on your blog, you can Twitter it, post it on Facebook, right? So this is kind of just getting in the habit of doing it. And it's slow at first. Is there anyone on the call who's not, who has a list but you're not sending out regular emails to it? Does anyone fall in that category?
Yes, I do.
Is this Nancy?
No, this is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm new.
Hi. How many people you got on your list?
Right now, nearly 600. It's a small list.
Well, that's good. 600 is good. It's a good start. When was the last time you emailed them?
I'm going to say maybe last week.
Maybe last week.
I think I did something last week. I don't think I've done anything this week.
All right. Slowly work your way up to emailing them 2, 3, 4, or 5 times a week.
Okay. I sent out maybe 3 things last week. What I've been doing is posting to my blog, and then it goes out over Twitter and AWeber.
You can do that. I really, though, like to write specifically for my list when I write to my list. Like, a blog post is a different mindset.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
Right? See, because you got to understand, what are you trying to do in this email? You're trying, we'll see how much you've been listening here, Kathy. You're trying to create an, fill in the blanks, attractive personality, right?
Right. So you want to be more personal with your email to your list rather than...
Absolutely. The purpose of the email is to be an attractive character to your audience.
Okay.
Why? You're
more personality and more, you know, maybe a little bit more low-key.
Yeah, I mean, you want content. It's not all personality or character, right?
Yes.
But you're trying to present this attractive character and attract people. Look at it this way. You're starting your own cult.
Okay.
Not literally, but you know what I'm saying.
I know exactly what you're saying, yeah.
Like, have you ever talked to, like, one of Dan Kennedy's real hardcore fans?
Well, I don't think so.
Sometimes they'll run into one of them. They just won't stop going on about how great Dan is. That's what you want. So you want to become this, present yourself and your ideas and your concepts in the most attractive light you can. I know,
okay.
It's personal because, like, Would you rather read an impersonal blog post or a more personal communication that's sent to you specifically?
The more personal, for sure.
Right. Everybody likes things that are more personal versus less personal. Do you want to deal with the bank where you walk in, nobody says hi? The teller just kind of stares at you with blank eyes and motion, and just goes through the motions, hands you your receipt, and, like, doesn't even say bye?
No.
Or do you want to go to the bank and you walk in, hi, how are you? Teller's like, she gets the name off when she looks up your account. Hello, Mr. Sanders, how are you today? Oh, God, I'm really doing very much better now that you recognize that I have a name. Oh, well, yeah, I haven't seen you in here for a couple weeks. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, I know. I had this quadruple hernia surgery. Do you want to hear about it? Yeah, I realize the line's long. I'm so sorry. But you see what I'm saying?
Sure. Personal is always better.
There you go. So you want to send out regular personal emails to your list. Then refer them over to your blog post. But you want to create your own fan club. And I'll tell you a funny story about this. It's like anyone new, it's a very uncomfortable thing. But I'll tell you the guy who explains it better. Dan Kennedy really does have this really good set of videos, or I thought they were good. It's called Affluence or Marketing with Abundance or whatever. It's kind of an off topic for Dan because he's not exactly known for being the most prosperity-minded person in the world. But they're great videos. And on there, he has a couple insights. And one of the insights is he's just like, it sounds kind of bad, but marketing is really about self-aggrandizement. Because if you don't toot your own horn, your competitor ain't going to do it. Your mama ain't going to do it. Not in your emails anyway, probably. So pretty much, you know, it's up to you to blow your own horn. And if you don't toot it, how do people know what you've done or how good you are, how great your ideas or concepts are or products are or anything else, right?
Yes.
So you kind of got to be this attractive character, this attractive personality, toot your own horn, you know, tell people how great whatever you have done is and let them know it, you know. Land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. So if you can see further than they can, you got to kind of shout about it, you know. So those are your emails. The blog posts are more content. But the emails, you're developing this relationship. But you also put content in there. You can also take, like, your blog post sometimes and stick it in the email. You do a little personal thing, blah, 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 blah. Oh, by the way, today I'm just going to go ahead. This blog post is so important, I'm just putting it here, right here in the email.
Okay. That's a good idea.
Go ahead and do that two, three, four, five times a week. Work your way up. Don't mail them 5 days in a row all at once. You'll shock them. You'll get spam complaints. Yeah, actually, you'll get spam complaints. So you work your way up in terms of frequency.
Okay.
I mean, depending on your niche, you know, how frequently you email depends on your niche. What's your niche? What's your audience?
This particular one is internet marketing.
All right. Well, internet marketing you can send daily, no problem.
Okay.
You know, as long as you make it, again, remember, think of it like that you're a DJ on a radio station, all right? And they're channel surfing. What's your job then?
To get them to stay on my channel.
To make them tune in and, like, sit there a while, right?
Right.
You ain't going to do that with, well, it's another day in internet marketing. And there's a lot more product launches out here. And got lots of product. And my email, good God, is it bogged up today. It's worse than it was yesterday. And lots of people out there making millions. Too bad I ain't one of them. You know, I mean, that ain't going to get anyone to listen to your channel, your station. So you got to say, today, what can I put on my radio show that's going to make them tune in for 10 minutes, 20 minutes?
Okay.
Because you've heard the term attention economy.
Yes.
It's an attention economy. You got to work to get their attention. Once you get their attention, the next thing is you self-aggrandize and create value. A more polite way of saying it is you create value. But you've got to create value. Like, you would think value exists. Yeah, my products are great. All they got to do is just look at it, and they can see how it just oozes value. The product sells itself. Well, in the ideal world, it does. Unfortunately, that ain't the world I live in currently. In the world I live in currently, you got to create value. If that wasn't true, would Coke run TV commercials? Would McDonald's run TV commercials?
No, they wouldn't.
No, everybody knows Cokes are great. We don't need to advertise. They ain't advertised since 1918 when we invented Coke. We just stick it on shelves. People look at it and go, wow, that looks great, and they drink it. So you communicate to your target audience. You have an attractive character. You engage them. You bring out things that pull them into your radio station, and then you begin to create value for who you are, for what you're about, for what your products stand for what you stand for. You create value. Then, once or twice a week, you extend offers where people can give you money for your value. Or someone else's value in a product that you feel is valuable, right? So it's all about this communication and being able to communicate with these people, having a clear picture of who they are, what they're into, what their hot buttons are. Get, you know, and really establishing these communications with them personally in your emails. And then the blog posts support all of that process. Does that help or does that make sense?
It does. It totally does. Yes.
All right. Well, let's get some of those emails going and then come back in a couple of weeks and tell me how that works for you.
Okay. I actually have a great idea for the content email, so I will get that in place right away.
Awesome. Who else wants to have a question or a comment on this? Maybe somebody that hasn't talked before, somebody who's a newbie? Anyone? Then what I recommend you do is go to like earlytorise.com and even set up a separate like Yahoo email and get on one or two of their lists. Look at how they send out the e-zine, send out the pitches, the content. Now, understand, they're a bigger company than we are, so they got 3 and 4 writers on their e-zines, you know, which is a little hard for us to do. But the general idea applies. Like I did it today. I thought I sent out a great email today. Did you all get my email today?
Yep.
Yes, I read it.
Yes, it was good.
Did the subject line get your attention?
Yes.
Well,
I actually printed
it out.
That
came from a survey. The subject line came from one of my surveys. So people on my survey told me that was something they were interested in. And then I tried to give content, but then also one or two links to a pitch. You all want to know how many clicks and sells we had on that today so far?
Sure.
Let me go look. It may suck. Or it may be halfway decent. I don't know. It hadn't been out too long, so I don't know. Let's just go look at the results, though. This is kind of like the cool thing. So you get this idea of something your list might respond to, and then you throw it out there and you see if they respond or not. And you get to do that every day. And some days you win that game and some days you lose that game. Okay. So, 215 people so far clicked the amazing formula link at the top. But no one has bought from that. 69 people clicked the link for Occam's Razor, and so far we have one sell from that. So that's, we'll see how this ends up in 2 days. So far, decent result in terms of clicks, not a good result in terms of conversions. My overall conversions on Amazing Formula need to be revamped. I haven't revamped that sales letter in 3 years. So this doesn't really surprise me. Out of 215 clicks, I should have converted 5 or 10. Like, you know, 2%, 3%. If it was a special offer, you know, maybe 5 or 10% if I had a special bonus. But just off of clicks like this, I should have converted like 2% and I didn't. So I really, one of my plans is I got to start doing some split testing on Amazing Formula. because I should do better than that. But anyway, this is what you do. And every day you get to look at this. Let me give you some results that are a little better than the one today. So every day you get to look at this and you get to see, okay, did this idea work today? Did it make me sales today, right? Here's one where I had 356 clicks and 294 sales. That would be on the real high end. Here's one that's not too bad. 558 clicks and 28 sales. That's a 5% click-to-sales ratio. That's not bad. Here's one, 172 clicks and 87 sales. That was a 50% click-to-sales ratio. Here's 193 clicks and 10 sales. That's a 5.18% conversion rate. Here's one, 177 clicks and 7 sales, that's a 3.95% conversion rate. 624 clicks and 11 sales, that's a 1.76 rate, so that wasn't that good. Here's 39 clicks and 1 sell, so that was 2.56 conversion, not that good. Here was 806 clicks, but only 10 sales, so that's 1.24% conversion, not that good, but still 10 sales. Let's see what else we got here. Here's one. Let me find another good one. All right, this one's not bad. 385 clicks, 16 sales, 4.16% conversion. 651 clicks, 40 sales, 6.14% conversion. And then here's one that sucked. 837 clicks, but only 6 sales for a 0.72% conversion. 395 clicks, 20 sales for a 5.06% conversion. Here's one, 104 clicks, 30 sales, 28.85% conversion. All right. Do those numbers, here's one that really sucks, 701 clicks, only 1 sale, 0.14% conversion. Do those numbers open any eyes to you or mean anything to you or kind of give you an example of what I'm talking about? Anyone?
Yeah, they do to me. I mean.
All right. So, I mean, that's what you do. You send out these daily emails. Some of the ones that have the higher percentages conversions, those were likely standalone promotions. The ones with lower conversions were probably just an ad inserted into some content. So they obviously didn't convert as good.
Mark, is this the same list? This is your list.
That's all my main internet marketing list.
That's
yes.
The main internet list. So this.
Yeah. Now, a lot of those weren't standalone promotions. I don't know which ones are. On a standalone promotion, I normally get 1,400 to 2,500 clicks. If it's a standalone, if it's a good, strong standalone promotion, so a lot of those numbers I gave you were 300 clicks or so, and then that so that tells you. Now here's one that was a standalone promotion: 1,203 clicks, 17 sales for a 1.41% conversion. That was a standalone promotion. It just didn't convert that good.
So how large is this list? Just to, because, you know, is it 10,000?
That's all I'm going to say about it.
Okay, it's large. Okay.
But here's the thing. I've had, you know, over the years since I've gone on AWeber, and I had a lot of lists before AWeber, but just since I've been on AWeber, we've had 250,000 opt-ins. But you got to understand, a lot of those aren't deliverable anymore. So our actual deliverables are under 100,000. But let me point something out to you. My friend Lee McIntyre has numbers, clicks, that would be similar to what I've just read to you, all right? But his list is under 10,000 people.
Yeah.
See, it's... But a lot of my people have been on there forever is the thing. And his people are all within the last two and a half years. So they're fresher people. So, and he also does just one killer job on communicating to his list. So my point is, your list size doesn't matter. List size does not matter. What matters is what?
Your communication to them.
No, your clicks and your conversions.
Well, yeah, and that creates the click. And
your clicks and your conversions. Because I can have a 5,000-person list that gets clicks very similar to mine. I can have a 200,000-person list that gets clicks similar to mine, but ain't anybody converts. So it's all relative.
It's a conversion, actually.
I mean, you can even go beyond that to say, well, it's actually more than that because it's dollars per click. Because
sure.
I could have a low number of clicks, but a high percentage, but a decent percentage, of, and a low number of people that buy. It just happens that what they're buying is a high dollar ticket.
Yeah.
Right. Or they're agreeing to continuity or something. So the just conversion alone still doesn't tell you the whole story, but it's not bad statistic to track. To know when you're sending out emails what percentage are buying. It's certainly one of those statistics you want to pay attention to. But I really think a lot of people focus too much on the numbers of subscribers and not enough on the clicks. How many people are paying attention is what really matters. I mean, these numbers are okay. I don't think my numbers are great right now, and that's mostly because, we got to re-ramp up my whole front-end lead acquisition. I've talked about that on other calls, and just something we're in the process of doing. And what that amounts to is, see, we don't have the one-click upsells in place, and so we've really got to, one of our things that we got to do this year is to put one-click upsells in place and increase our visitor value, which makes us then more attracted to affiliates and increases our traffic. So that's one of my objectives this year. Is that helpful, useful to anyone else? Does it give you any insight? So let's say that I send out an email and it only makes one sale. That's still $50 or $100 you didn't have before that day. And I'll also point something else out here. Like if I send out an email and only gets one sale, I will still have more sales than that in my PayPal account, and it's kind of hard to understand. Like the tracking should track all the sales, but it doesn't seem like it does. It's a very accurate tracking program, but it's still, I don't know. I can just tell you, when I mail our list and mail good content and good pitches and so forth, we make real good money. If I don't mail, we don't. You know, so you got to mail and you got to put focus on it and attention. All right. So for those of you not mailing, I hope the point of this was just kind of to motivate you to mail. That's really the point of it. And to do content, be an attractive character, have a radio show and get people to tune in. And if you do that, between now and 2 weeks from now, your sales are going to go up. Whether you're selling your own products or you're selling your affiliate products, but your sales will go up. Your sales will go up just from mailing people every day. Your sales will go up. So I think that's enough for this week. Before I close this out, does anybody else have any questions or comments you want to bring up?
Can I ask just one more question?
Yeah, go ahead.
When you post on a blog, is it helpful? Does it make the post more effective if you did put it in an audio, as in really having a radio show? Does that make a blog post more effective?
Well, I think you should mix in audio just like you should mix in video. Because not everyone likes print, not everybody likes audio, and not everybody likes video. So we use all communication channels.
I want to make a comment there on, if you're going to put audio on, make sure that you are setting it up properly, that it's set up to fit your RSS feed, and that you are taking the time to submit it at iTunes and the various podcast directories, because it will drive a lot more traffic.
Good point.
But only if you're in the directories.
Okay, great. That's good to know. Because I've not done
exclusively audio, no. But would I mix in audio? Yes.
Okay, good. Good, good.
I mean, I wouldn't do exclusive audio unless my people were really people that just wanted audio. You know, most people, you got a certain percentage that like audio, a certain percentage that like to read, a certain percentage that like video. I mean, most of my people, you know, a majority like to read, but there's a certain percentage that like the audio and a certain percentage like the video. I've not been doing a particularly great job, for various reasons, staffing mostly, of mixing in the audio and the video, and it's one of the things that I plan on improving. I mean, for a while I thought we did a really great job of it, but I had some staffing issues where we didn't get the workload done. So I let our audio and our video components go down, and it's not good. Because you need the multiple tiers of communication with your list. All right, everyone, that's probably enough brain load for this week. Hope that's useful and helpful to you. And get busy. Send some emails out to your list. Throw in some multimedia if you want. And make a few offers. Be that attractive character. Get people to tune into your show, and I will talk to you all in 2 weeks. Bye, everyone.